1 John chapter number 2. We're going to be reading through from the 18th to the 21st verse. We're going to give you what the Lord has given us, and then we're going to go home. I'm excited to be here this evening. I told Christy, I had reminded her from last or on Saturday when the pastor had asked me. See, that was the whole reason I was invited to the wedding, so he'd ask me if I could preach tonight. I understand. And she was standing right there, and she goes, "Well, you never told me." And I reminded her last night, "Hey, hon, I'm going to Victory tomorrow." I was getting ready to head here, and we're talking. She goes, "Well, you never told me you were going to Victory." And she goes, "Oh, wait, yes, you did." That's when you know you've been married to someone so long, when you start to swap brains, because I forget everything. So you pray for her. I'm excited because also she was wrong, because she was expecting a girl, but and she was expecting a girl, but we got a boy. So, and I say we because I'm a member of this family too. Amen. All those who would, if you've got your spot at 1 John chapter number 2, please stand with us. Refresh yourselves, stand for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. We're going to start in the 18th verse. It says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." And I like this verse. This is where we're going to get our preaching from. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your house, and how we feel this evening, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would remove me of self and allow me, Lord God, just to allow you to take control. Use me, Lord. Father, we pray that you would touch each and every person here. Lord God, that you would give them the desire and the unction to listen and to receive. Father, I pray that, Lord, this message, Lord God, would go out and touch the hearts of the lost and the saved alike, Lord. Father, I thank you once again for all that you have done for me. Lord, I am unworthy, but you're worthy. Father, I was headed for hell, but you saved me. And Lord God, I just pray that, Father, even though we know we're going to fail, Lord, that we would just be submissive unto your word. And that, Lord, we would do what you would have us to do. In your Son's sweet and heavenly name, and amen. You may be seated. I have been studying on this word unction for quite a few years. I love this word. It's a word that I thought growing up was just something my granny used to say to tell me to get up off the couch and stop watching TV. She'd always say, "Boy, you need an unction." And it turns out that it's a biblical word. It's not just hillbilly. Amen. It's a word that means to anoint. It's a word that literally means to anoint with oil. It also means to excite piety and devotion. And that means that we should be excited to serve the Master. We should be devoted to Him and only to Him. Amen. We even read here that in 19th verse it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." Now, when he's talking about us, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the saved, the children of God. That's who John is talking about. When he's talking about those, he's talking about those false professors, those wolves in sheep's clothing. He called them Antichrist because, hey, if you're not for Christ, you're Antichrist. If you're not with Him, you're against Him. Amen? He even said that. He said, "Those who are not with us are against us. But if God be for us, who can stand against us?" Amen? So we see this word unction, and I love this word because this is a word that you should apply to your lives daily, because we have been given the anointment of serving Him, the desire to serve Him, the desire to work for Him. Amen? That word unction right there, it's a word that we should apply every single day. We should remember this word. We don't have an unction just to sit down and let somebody else do our job. No, that's not what it means. We don't have an unction just to hide out while the world is in chaos, and perhaps you have that desire just to stand away because, hey, I'm saved. What does anything else have to do with me? He didn't tell us to go hide under a rock. Amen. He didn't tell us to hide our light under a bushel. He told us to go out. He told us to compel them to come in. Now, when you think of the highways and hedges, yeah, you've got a highway running right in front of your church. You've got some hedges to the side. But if you go right there, one, you're going to get hit by a car, and if you go to the hedges, no one's going to see you. But what he means is he wants you to go out and find those ones. Tell those ones who have no desire. Perhaps you tell someone about Jesus. Perhaps you tell someone about His mercy and His grace. Those ones who are hiding out and hiding with their sin. Who are hiding in the darkness. Hey, and here's the thing. How about those ones who are saved? And who have fallen out of church? And who have gotten out of the will of God? Perhaps you go to them. When was the last time someone called a member and said, "Hey, we've been missing you. Hey, we love you. Is there something we can pray for you about? Did someone hurt you?" Because when one weepeth, when we all weep. See, there's no blessings sitting out of church. I've said this, and I don't know if I've ever said it here, but I'll say it openly. I'm tired of those people saying that you don't have to be a Christian and not go to church. I believe to be an effective Christian, to be a Christian that grows, to be a Christian that's in His will, you need to go to church. Don't get me wrong, I get it. There are people who have been shut in, people who have been dealing with illness, perhaps people who have been dealing with loss, or they're taking care of a loved one, they're being a caregiver. Listen to me, I understand that, and God knows that. But these ones who are just sitting out, who are not applying that unction, who are not using the gifts and the tools that God has given them, and they're using it for their own personal gain, or perhaps they're just letting it lie dormant. We need to get on the. I heard one man preach this. He said, "We need an unction to function." Amen. We need an unction to function. We need to get back out there. I've been praying that the Lord would allow us to do a certain work that we never thought that we'd ever do, and God's still working with us on it. And I know there's some things in the works with it, but I don't want to just sit idly by. And if I can, for a few moments, I want to preach on this: what unction can do. What unction can do. First of all, I want to say this: unction encourages fervor. Now, you look at that word fervor, it literally means hot. That's what it means. It means hot. It means to be excited. It means to be on fire. We hear these people all the time say, "I'm on fire for the Lord." And then you say, "Well, where are they?" Amen. I've heard a story about a man who used to lay out of church, and one day he goes up to his pastor and he says, "Pastor, I've had the desire to be a missionary." And the pastor looks at him and said, "Well, if you want to be a missionary, I want to know, what are you going to do as a missionary?" He said, "Are you going to do what you do here in the church?" He said, "Oh, absolutely." He says, "Then I would highly discourage you from being a missionary." It's the truth. We are a representation of Him. And I've said this, people are watching us. Not just people of the church, but people out in the world. Our family is watching us. And if they see that we have a desire to serve the Lord, if they see that we have a desire to go to church, that we have a desire to work for Him, That we have a desire to go stand on the corner and pass out tracts or help in a work party. Hey, that's a reflective. Those little babies right there, brother, they're going to see that mom and daddy, they have a desire to go to church. And every Wednesday, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening, they don't need to ask where we're going to go. They know exactly where they're going to be. When it's revival time, they know where they're going. When it's Sunday school time, they don't have to wonder if mom and dad are going to get up for church to go to Sunday school. I believe Sunday school is a very important part of church. I had one man say, he said, hey, Sunday school is not in the Bible. Sunday school is not in the Bible. I said, well, it doesn't say. I said, well, I believe the word rapture is not in the Bible, but I know it's real, amen. There's a use and there's a tool and a need for Sunday school. And we should be on fire. It should be almost infectious when people see that we have that desire. And I'm not just talking about the world, because here's the thing. People can get caught up in false emotion. They can get caught up in false belief. And what I mean by that is people can think they're saved, but they're really not. And it's unfortunate at those who believe that. Because you can almost talk to them until they're blue in the face, not questioning their salvation, but you look at their fruits, you look at their works, and it's just not there. I mean, their life is like this. But unfortunately, there are saved people like that too. You may say, well, I've never been like that. But hold on. Hold on. There's going to be something that puts us through a trial. We're going to face temptation. We're going to fail. But when we look at that fire that's burning down in our heart, we sing that song, "The only fire I'll ever feel is burning down in my heart." That's what that fervor needs to be. That anointing fervor. That, here's the thing, is when I look at that word unction, that can only be given by Jesus Christ. It can only be given by God. That's a holy anointing. Amen. That's a blessing from God. And when we look at that fervor that He gives us, I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, you look at certain people and it's amazing at just how driven they are. And you look at them and you almost start getting a little jealous, because you're like, I want to be like that. I want to have that drive. And then you just keep questioning and you keep wanting more and wanting more, and pretty soon you burned yourself out because you haven't actually applied it. You've just talked about it. We often hear this: you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Whenever we get in that situation. See, I can stand up here all day, brother. I can stand up here all day, Brother Eric. I can tell you that this is what I want to do. I can say that I'm going to do this, and this is what God has led me to do, and I could ask you to pray for me about it, but if I don't apply myself to it, it means absolutely nothing. If I don't believe, and if I don't have that faith, it means absolutely nothing. But not only, what we see here in Galatians 4:18, it says, "But it is good to be zealously affected, and a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." Now, I have said this time and time again. We can act like we have a desire to serve the Lord. We can talk about serving the Lord. We can lift our hands up in church. We can sing praises. We can sing out of the hymnal. And it's a blessing to be able to come to church. But what do you do the other 5 days of the week? Because like it said, we're not always with one another. You want to see how someone acts? Take that person out of the room when their family's there and ask the family. If you want to see how somebody really is, go surprise them at work. Surprise them at school. I'm not telling you to do this. This is just an example. Don't show up at Eric's work and be like, "Hey, here's your test. Brother Carrick said to go." Don't take me literal. We can just ask the missus about that. I know she's here. But what I'm saying is this, is that we should always act like somebody's watching, because church, somebody is always watching. The one who we really want to watch us, the one who we call out for in times of trouble, that's who's watching us. But not only do we see an unction, the unction that encouraged fervor, but it also gives liberty. It also gives liberty. Now we know this, and this is our church's, I guess you would say, verse, because we're Liberty Baptists up in Muncie. But we know now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now I love freedom. You can't tell me not to talk about Jesus. And that we should have that anointing, that unction, as I've said already, to talk about Jesus. Like I said, we have a fellowship. And I don't believe that you can have it's not fellowship without Jesus. Amen. When you have fellowship, Jesus is included. It should be about Jesus. You don't even have to be in church to have fellowship with Jesus. This past Saturday, I had some of the greatest fellowship. I love seeing all of you. I got to meet some family from both sides. I mean, they're just wonderful people. The desserts were amazing. I was on my diet stopped right there. I need to get back on it. The food was good, wasn't it? And you know you're Baptist when you can have fellowship with some food. And I'm not talking to everybody else. I mean, you actually have fellowship with the food. You're just thanking God for that brisket. But we had no restraints. There was no sign saying, don't talk about Jesus. There was no masking sign. Actually, I think there was one social distancing sign. I just wanted to point that out. But it was funny because everybody was packed in like sardines, and when the electricity went out, that wasn't frankincense we were smelling, because I was burning up. But it was a blessing because we were all together. It's just like now, we can enjoy one another. We can love on one another. We can spend time with one another. We can be a blessing to one another, an encouragement, an uplifting to one another. Why? Because we've been given that liberty. We've been given that freedom to say, I'm going to pray for you. I don't have to go ask someone for permission to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't have to ask you permission if I can pray for you. Now, you hear that a lot, like, can I pray for you? And I understand where that's coming from. But if you tell me no, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Listen to this one more time. One more time. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, as I've said already, that unction is a holy anointing. It's been given from God to us. And we apply that and we use it. And it encourages us. And we grow from it. And we don't just sit by, or we don't let someone else get in front of us. You see, here's the thing, is we come to church. A lot of people say, well, I'm looking for my blessing. I want to receive a blessing. But did you ever put it to your mind and say, maybe you're that blessing? Maybe you're that one who someone's looking at to pray for, or to have you pray for them, rather. You see, here's the thing. You ever listen to someone pray? And it's not that... It's not that, you know, you haven't prayed yourself. Usually you've come to lay your petition at the Lord's feet. You've given what you have, and you have somebody right next to you. You don't want to raise up because you don't want to interrupt them. And it's not being rude, but you start to listen to what they're praying for. And I've got Landon. He loves to come pray with me on this when we go up for the altar of prayer at the end of service. And sometimes when I'm done, he'll keep going, and he's still learning to pray, and I'm still learning to pray. But it touches my heart whenever he says this: "Bless mommy and bless daddy." And it eats me. It gets me to the point where it's like, he's looking out for me. The little 8-year-old son is looking out for daddy, and he wants God to bless me. And when we lay down at night, I'll listen to him, and there's no hindrance around. There's nobody telling him not to. And I think if somebody would tell him not to pray, I still believe he would, because that's just he loves to pray. If you don't let him say the blessing before we eat, watch out. He gets offended, because he's like, I wanted to ask the blessing. But that's something he's grown up on. He doesn't mean anything by it, but he'll say, "Bless mommy and bless daddy. Bless our pastor and our church." And I believe God hears those prayers. And that's what freedom is. We have been given the freedom to talk to the Father. And that is a blessing in itself. That right there, look, that right there is, "But ye have a holy unction from the Holy One." But ye have an unction from the Holy One. "And ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And I know that I have liberty." But not there's so many things I could apply to this message. We see an unction unction encourages fervor. An unction gives liberty. But I wrote this as my third point, and I'll be honest with you, the notes just aren't there, because I was so wrapped up in this third that I was just reading, and I was looking, and I've been thinking about it. Even at work, I've been driving and thinking about it. And by the grace of God, I didn't reckon to anybody, because there'd be times where I'm like, well, I'm on the other side of town. Oops. Because seriously, this is just where my mind has been at all today. It's just been on this verse. And it's a common verse, and it's a verse that has been changed in so many different ways. And I'll be honest with you, there's a difference between, and I'm going to get to this verse in just a second, there's a difference between how the world portrays this verse and how we are to portray this verse. And really, there's a difference between how the world portrays the Word of God and how the Word of God really is. But what I'm trying to get at is that the versions have limited this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We know this verse. We have heard songs about this verse. We've seen it on posters. We've seen it on bumper stickers. I mean, I've seen this verse everywhere. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I will get to it in just a second. I had it marked and I lost it. I didn't use David and Ashley's wedding invitation as a bookmark. Give me one second. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I'm almost there, I promise. And I'm going to read the whole verse, because this is a powerful verse. It's an amazing verse. It's a verse. It's the Word of God. So when you hear people say, "Well, that's a powerful verse," it's all powerful. Every period, every question mark, every comma, every semicolon, it's all powerful, because it's the Word of God. This is a living book. But I want to read real quick. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sound brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Remember, we know the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I putteth away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, as I've said before, the different versions have replaced charity with love. Now, godly love, real love, that's infallible. Because we know God is love. But I love this word charity. When you give something to Goodwill, that is not charity. Because oftentimes we'll say, do you want a receipt? And that's your tax break right there. But I want you to know about charity. Because unction gives charity. God has put it in our hearts to give charity. This charity, this word, is perfect love given and not expecting anything in return. That's what I believe. This charity is a selfless love. This charity, oftentimes you'll hear about agape and how it's the highest of all loves. And this is what that charity is, and not receiving anything in return. Not expecting anything in return. Not relying on anything in return. This charity is a charity that we should apply to ourselves every day. Because we know and we have seen through an eye of faith. We have read in this blessed book, perfect charity. We could go to John 3:16. And see the perfect display of charity. We could go to the latter part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see the perfect display of charity. You see, Christ went to the cross for us, not expecting anything. Didn't ask anything of us. When we go out and we tell someone about Jesus, this is what separates us from the world. This is what separates us from those who would rather be lifted up than to lift him up. This is what separates us from the social media influencers who portray themselves as being kind and loving and desirable of your feelings, but really, it's to promote their own celebrity. You see, I'm not promoting God's celebrity. I'm telling you about His righteousness, His perfection. I'm telling you about Him and what He has done for us. Not because of anything I want. Now, I have a desire to see the lost saved.
I don't want anyone to go to hell. I don't. I don't care who you are. I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want all to know him in a free pardon of sin. Why? Because he died for them. We know that no one has ever walked the face of this earth that he did not die for. We could go on and explain that. But really, it's all about him. Charity was what he gave us. Now, he didn't expect, but shouldn't we reciprocate that? I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell him myself real quick. Sometimes I get nervous handing someone a gospel tract. Chest gets a little tight. I even sometimes second guess it. And that's the flesh getting in the way. And sometimes I get nervous talking to people about Jesus. Sometimes I miss the opportunity, Brother Eric. And I just pray for one more opportunity. Christy has a gentleman. She works with his wife. And he's not doing well, I don't think. She thinks that he won't last maybe a few more days, possibly. I mean, he's been in the hospital now 2 weeks, and he's not an older man. He's maybe mid-40s. I mean, he's a young man. And I was telling Christy, I said, is he a Christian? She said, no. But he likes to have people come pray for him. He wants people to come pray for him. And I told her, I said, do you think there would be an opportunity that I could go and witness to him, just, or have you witnessed to him? And she said, well, I don't get up there because of work. And I told her, I said, well, ask his wife. I would love to meet him. And she said this. She said, I will, but I don't know if he'll let you come. And you see, I told her, I said, well, just ask anyway, because I don't want to miss this opportunity. Because we are missing opportunities. We are letting ourselves get in the way. Truthfully, we are the ones who hinder ourselves the most. Because if we would let the Lord take hold, if we'd be submissive unto him and get out of the way. Amen. Say that again. If we got out of the way. That charity would be displayed. The unction is there. It's been given to us. It's that holy anointing. It's that display of piety and devotion. We must be devoted to him. It must excite us and it must drive us. Not that we do it out of motion or we do it out of habit or circumstance, but we do it because we remember this. Before him, we had nothing. But because of him, we have everything. We've been given everything. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He looked down the portals of glory for us. He looked down the portals of time to us and said, I want that one. I want that one. And yet we've failed him time and time again. But he still went to the cross for us. So I'll take the title. I'll take that title again. We must have an unction to function. We must look at what unction can do for us. Because I could go on. I mean, I could probably, Lord willing, give at least 6, 7, 8, 9, 100 more points on it. Well, I mean, we could go until next week. We're not even scratching the surface on it. But these three things: encouraging fervor, giving liberty, receiving liberty, and producing charity. I love that word, charity. It's a word that has been, its meaning has been just diminished. Charity. We'll hear that. Just give to charity. Just give to charity. It'll be a good tax write-off. You did it without receiving, wanting anything in return. See, what I want is what he wants. But I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about him. Brother Eric, I am done.